Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we wave palm branches, as we remember your entry into Jerusalem on that first Holy Week, remind us, Lord, you're the Messiah, the Savior who has come from heaven to earth for each of us. Help us also to prepare our hearts for what's coming this week. The Savior, your death, but most of all, as we look ahead to next Sunday, your resurrection and what that means for us. Thank you for these incredible gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem on that first Passover, the first day of the celebration of the Passover, some saw him as nothing more than a menace. Others saw him as a miracle worker or a magician, but there were a few that saw him as the Messiah, the Savior. He entered into a red-hot political mess. It was a powder keg that was ready to explode. Jews from around the area had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover and to offer sacrifices in the temple. They also talked smack about the Romans. They hated being under their rule. Every single one of them was dreaming of that day of their own independence when they would be their own nation again. A small faction of them were ready to do whatever it took to make that happen, use force if it were needed. But on the other hand, you have the chief priests, the Pharisees, and the ruling council. They want to do everything they can to stay good with Rome. They did not want to ruffle anyone's feathers. They wanted things to remain the same because they liked their position and their lifestyle. And also, you have to throw in Pontius Pilate, the governor of the region. He decides things could get really ugly during this Passover because, with all those people in the city, who knows what could happen. So he decides, I'm going to go visit Jerusalem. So on the very same day, Pontius Pilate and Jesus enter into Jerusalem. Pilate comes in from the west, riding a war horse, proclaiming the power and the might of Rome, squashing any idea that there might be a revolt. Jesus enters from the east on the back of a donkey. Ideologies and agendas are colliding. So that is the setting for the week that Jesus entered Jerusalem, his last week alive. Some think he's a menace. Others think he's a magician. Still others think he is the Messiah, the Savior. The Jewish leaders, they saw him as an absolute menace. For 3 years, he's been gaining popularity. His teachings are just astounding people, leaving them awestruck. His insight into the scriptures has been penetrating. Add to that all these miracles that he's doing, and these large crowds are now following him. But he's pretty unorthodox. He heals on the Sabbath. That's blasphemy. He eats dinners with tax collectors, with prostitutes, and other sinners. That's unheard of. He has been known to associate with those Samaritans. And he even healed the daughter of a Roman soldier. How dare he? This guy is nothing more than a menace who's gaining popularity. And then you have that whole Lazarus thing. An obscure guy dies. He's in the grave for 4 days. Jesus shows up. A large crowd gathers. Jesus raises him from the dead. And that pushed the leaders over the edge. Instead of marveling at this miracle of God, they mutter, this guy's a menace. We have to do something about it. Consider John chapter 11. The chief priests and the Pharisees gather the council and say, well, what are we going to do? This man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. The Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. So the ruling council decides, this guy has to go. Verse 53, from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. They are so threatened by Jesus that they actually put a hit on him. Eliminate this guy. Doesn't get better in John 12. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. On account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. They add Lazarus to the hit list. Maybe if they eliminate both Jesus and Lazarus, well, that would stop any kind of movement that was fermenting up. Many today would consider Jesus a menace. There's animosity. There's hostility towards Christians and Christianity. Many today would consider his teachings to be judgmental, to be completely out of date. Oh, some of his stuff is okay, but most of it, no way. He is a menace. Here's the real question. What about you? I know you would never say Jesus is a menace, but at times our words and actions can indicate a bit differently. And we're not all squared away in his teachings either. Some of them actually collide in our lives. Let me give an example. Jesus said we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I haven't seen much of that going on lately. I haven't seen many loving their enemies. What I have seen is labeling. What I have seen is hating them. We put them in a box. We make fun of them. We gather together with like-minded people to lob insults and attacks on what we perceive as, well, that's the other side. We collide with the teachings of Jesus. So do many consider him a menace? Maybe not. How about a magician? That's how the crowds at that time saw Jesus. He had raised this guy from the dead, and they were interested in that. Well, let's see what this is all about. John chapter 12 again. The reason why the crowd went out to meet him was they heard he had done this sign. Raising Lazarus from the dead is not something you do every day. Let's go find out more. Oh, by the way, the guy who raised Jesus, who Jesus raised, is going to be there too. Let's find out a bit more about him. I don't mean to be cynical. I think they were honestly more curious than they were committed. They just wanted to see him, that's all. Jesus was a magician. He could do some pretty spectacular stuff. I wonder if he might do something while he's coming into Jerusalem. How about you? Do you see Jesus as a magician? Do you look to Jesus to settle everything in your life that isn't quite there? You pray to him, you want him to fix this, that, or the other thing. Is your prayer life a grocery list of petitions going to Jesus? It's like, okay, God, listen up here. You might want to get a pen and paper for this, and I've even prioritized it for you. I need this and this and this. Is that all our prayer life is? God, these are the problems that I need you to fix. Now, don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying we should not take things to God in prayer. 1 Peter tells us, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Pray to God and ask for his help. He calls us to do that. But if that is all the further our relationship with God goes, it's kind of shallow. And what happens when God says, not yet, wait? Or worse yet, when God says, I'm sorry, but no. If our relationship is that shallow, it can crumble. It's like the 10 lepers who came to Jesus asking him for healing, and Jesus granted it. But only one comes back. The other 9 were kind of shallow. They got what they wanted, and they walked away. Is Jesus just a magician? No. We see that he is the Messiah who entered Jerusalem on that day. The very Son of God, the one who had been promised for years, was there. Now, the disciples didn't quite get it at that time. They didn't think he was a menace. I don't think they looked at him as a magician. They were actually confused most of the time. And quite frankly, if we had been there, I think we would have been confused also. Jesus' teachings were new. They were insightful. Some of the things that Jesus said didn't make sense to them until after the resurrection. And that's when everything became clear to them. Consider John 12 again. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered the things that had been written about him and done to him. After the resurrection, it's like the light went on. It all started to make sense. This was more than just a prophecy of their king coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. All the other prophecies came to fulfillment in Jesus. We need to see Jesus for who he really is. He is the Messiah, the long-awaited one. He's not a menace looking to start a revolt. He's not a magician who's come to do all these signs for us. He is the Messiah who saves us from our sins. He entered the city not on a war horse, but on a donkey, promising peace. He was no threat. And that's the contrast between Pontius Pilate and Jesus. Pilate enters the city on a war horse, showing the power, the might of Rome. Jesus enters the city on a donkey. A donkey is a symbol of meekness, not weakness. He came for a different purpose. He came to bring peace. But there's only one way that he could bring that peace, not only here on this earth, but peace with our Father in heaven. Ironically, the high priest Caiaphas unknowingly prophesied exactly how that peace would come. John 11. Caiaphas is talking to the ruling council and he tells them, "Well, you do not realize it is better for you that one man should die for the people than that the whole nation should perish." Did you get that? One man must die. Jesus entered Jerusalem to bring peace. That simply means Jesus entered Jerusalem to die. The only way that Jesus would bring us peace with our Father in heaven was to take our place, to go to the cross, and to take the punishment we deserved. He died the death that should have been ours to free us. Jesus is the Messiah who saves us. In just 1 week, we're going to gather right back here for quite a celebration. Jesus will have risen from the dead, declaring his victory over sin, death, and the devil. But we can't just jump straight to Easter. We need to walk with our Lord through this entire week. We gather together Thursday night for the Seder meal, the Passover, as the Lord gives us the Lord's Supper. We see and we taste the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We see the anguish of Jesus in the garden, Good Friday, the hurt of betrayal, the pain of the cross. Listen as he breathes his last, and he dies for us. Only then can we come back next Sunday morning, Easter, and fully realize and understand that Jesus is not a menace. He's not a magician. He is the Messiah. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all of our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith of our Lord Jesus. Amen.